All right. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Please note that. He led the flock to the backside of the desert. Where is that? And came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God said unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Moses, Moses. You know what makes a nice study? All the times that Moses called a person by his name twice. Look it up. It's a fascinating study. Moses, Moses. And there are about eight others. It's a nice way to occupy your time. Verse 5. And he said, draw not thy hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Backside of the desert. Who saw him there? The Lord said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. When we become small, God enlarges us. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said, God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth thy children out of Egypt? He says, certainly I will be with thee. This shall be the token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve the Lord. There is a man at the back side of the desert. Who saw him? Who knew him? The Lord said, I'm going to make you the leader of thy people out of Egypt. What was God's final evaluation of this man that was in the desert? Deuteronomy chapter 34. What did God have to say about it at the end of all of this? Deuteronomy chapter 34. Backside of the desert. Unknown, unseen. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. Or we might start at 9. Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him as they did unto Moses. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. Did he get it, beloved? He was nothing in the backside of the desert. And look what God did with him. If we want to be used by God, elevated by God, we must become nothing. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord. And sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, you get the picture. He's threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it. Now, if he's going to hide the wheat, he himself must be hidden. We read on. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, the mighty man of valor. And there he is down there hiding. Do you get? You see what I'm getting at? If we become nothing, God will raise us up. He's down there in hiding, and the Lord says, you're a great man of valor. And we read on. Gideon said, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is this all befallen us? Where be all his miracles which the fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Where do you get that might from? Down there threshing wheat to hide it, and he himself is hidden. The Lord said, you're a man of valor, and go in your might. If we want God to elevate us and to use us, we have got to get low. And by the way, the lower we get, the lower the Lord Jesus Christ will. But we read on. O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Verse 15. My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He's the least in his father's house, and the Lord said, thou man of valor. As we get lower and lower and lower, he elevates us. Genesis chapter 25. As you will note, I'm repeating myself because I'm saying the same thing over. If we want God to raise us up, we must get in the low place. Genesis chapter 25. Verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over, like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. After that, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years when she bare him. Now the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a simple man, dwelling in tents. Please note that. Jacob cooked pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. You know the impression that I get? Jacob was figuring on how he could get that birthright. And as soon as he saw his opportunity, give me some of that pottage that you were giving your birthright. He had been scheming and plotting and planning for a long time how to get that birthright. Jacob said, verse 31, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright be to me? Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Tricky Jacob. But we go on. Chapter 27. verse 34. Chapter 27. Verse 34. Jacob said, thy brother came with subtlety. Jacob the trickster, the serpent planter, the deceiver, and hath taken away thy blessing. Is he not rightly named Jacob? He has undermined me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. Jacob the trickster. Chapter 32. Always scheming, plotting, and planning. Chapter 32. Verse 24. Jacob was left alone. Beloved, do you know that one of the finest things you can do is get alone with God? Find some place where you are alone with God. It's amazing what will happen. Jacob was alone with God. And there wrestled with him a man until the breaking of the day. When he, that is the man, saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he, the man, wrestled with him. He dislocated Jacob's joint. And the man said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And the man said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel, as a prince. Now tell me, Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Talking to a supernatural creature. How could Jacob hold on to this heavenly person and say, I won't let you go? Don't you think that that heavenly person could just dismiss him? But how is it, what was the secret of Jacob's holding on and prevailing? Hosea chapter 12. How could Jacob prevail against a divine person, or shall I say, a supernatural person? Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. We might start with verse 3. Hosea 12, verse 3. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. How do you account for that? How could a mere human being have power over a mighty angel? The secret is here. Read the next verse. He wept and made supplication. That's how he was able to overpower the angel. He wept and made supplication. It wasn't his strength, it was his weeping. He got low. He became nothing. Now read with me, please. In Hebrews chapter 11. Bearing in mind that he did not overpower the angel by reason of his strength. He overpowered the angel by reason of his weeping. He was low. And also this, in order that he might not run around and supplant and trick people, the angel dislocated his hip. You remember that? Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Can you imagine Jacob blessing somebody? Tricky as he was, and he's going to bless somebody? Oh, but that hip was dislocated. Read the rest of it. Bless the sons of, and with leaning on his staff. He was in a position to bless because he was now weak. And God used this tricky fellow, dislocated his hip, had him crying before the angel, and of all people, he is blessing his sons. God put him down, so that he might raise him up. First Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel chapter 16. Verses 11 and 12. Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? He said, There remains yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him. We will not sit down till he come hither. Out there keeping sheep. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. Beautiful countenance. Handsome. The Lord said, Arise and anoint him, this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Little shepherd boy. He wasn't even thought of when Samuel came to select one of the sons of Jesse. He was out there. Oh, do you have another son? Yeah, he's a little fellow out there with the sheep. Well, you better bring him in. And he's the one that God chose. Second Samuel, please. Chapter 7. Verse 8. Now, therefore, shalt thou say unto thy servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people. You want to go up? You want God to elevate you? Get low. Down there with the sheep. A lowly position. God chose him to be ruler over his people. Again, I say, if you want to go up, get down. God will elevate you. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Verses 70 and 71. He chose David, also his servant, took him from the sheepfold, from following the ewes, great with young, and brought him to feed Jacob, his people. You want to go up? Go down. Little shepherd boy. Why, his family didn't think much of him. had to send him calling specially. God said, that's my man. Oh, let's look at Naaman. I have several of them here. It's a question of what the Lord will have us look at. 2 Kings chapter 5. We know the story of Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but, another of those buts, he was a leper. Not so good. Verse 9. Naaman came with all his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come away again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman got angry and said, behold, I thought, Naaman had his way. He thought that the man would come out and put his hand on the leper's place and heal him. I thought. And do you know that's the trouble in the world today? All these so-called big fellows, in my opinion, it seems to me, I think. And that was Naaman's trouble. But let's read on. I thought that he would come out to me, stand, call on the name of his God, strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Verse 12. Are not Arbana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? We have big rivers where I came from. Why should I go in that little Jordan? He's quite proud, isn't he? Especially for a man that wanted to get better. May I not wash in them in between? He turned away and went away in a rage. He had it figured out his way. But he had some wise servants. Verse 13, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much better than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. If you want to get better, Mr. Naaman, you better do what the prophet says. Get off of your high horse and get down in that water. Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh became again like unto the flesh of a little child. He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know. Previously said, I thought. Now he says, I know. He thought when he thought he was a big fellow. God told him, you get down in that water. And he said, now I know. If you want God to elevate you, you've got to be small. Be little. Now I know. That there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a present from thy servant. I emphasize it again. Before he went down into the Jordan, he said, I thought, had it all figured out. But after he went into that joint, he said, now I know. You get the point, beloved? You go low. We stay low. It's amazing what God will teach us, what we will learn, and what we will know. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 19. So he, Elijah, departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 oxen of oxen before him, and he with the 12. That's a very humble job, plowing with the oxen. Who saw him? Who even cared about him? Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. He said unto him, go again, what have I done to thee? He returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave unto the people. Then he arose and went after Elisha. What was he doing? A humble job, taking care of the oxen. Elisha said, come and follow me. Read the rest of the life of Elisha. See what God did for him and with him. From a humble herdsman, he was raised up. I think of another one. Book of Amos. And this one appeals to me because we had a professor of pharmacology, that is, drugs. And he liked to quote this verse. Amos chapter 7. Verse 13. Then, no, but prophesy not again anymore in Bethel. It is the king's chapel. It is the king's court. Then answered Amos, please note, and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I the son of a prophet, but I was an herdsman, humble job, and a gatherer of sycamore trees. The Lord took me as I followed the flock. The Lord said unto me, go prophesy. Again, a humble man following a humble pursuit, and God said, I want you to be a prophet. The beauty of humility, if we want God to use us. Got to keep check on the time here. Oh, Book of Daniel. This is a nice one. This is good for everybody and for especially for the young people here. Book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 1. This we know well. We almost do not need to read it, but let's read it. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. The king spoke unto Asmenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom he might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily portion of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Taken captives. Outstanding ones of the children of Israel. Children who were smart, and they wanted to teach them the learning of Babylon. Now let's read on. Oh, by the way, notice please that he fed them with the king's meat and the king's wine. They had good food. The best. Verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. Why should he see your faces worse looking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants. I beseech thee 10 days. Let them give us pulse, ordinary food to eat, and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that ate of the portion of the king's meat, as thou sayest, deal with us. He consented to them and proved them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their countenances were fairer and fatter than all the children which had eaten the portion of the king. Isn't that wonderful? We read on. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, you see, they honored God. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And David had understanding and all, Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them all were found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. In all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers that were in Israel. Do you think that the Lord does the same thing today? Do you think that if you honor God, he'll help you in school? Those of you in school. Does God do the same thing? There was a young lady in California. I'll even tell you her name. Grace Straw. She was with us in New York City in fellowship at the assembly there and was admitted to the School of Nursing where my wife trained. And Grace Straw came to me and my wife more than once. I can't put up with it. They tease me. You don't dance. You don't drink. You don't curse. You don't this. You don't the other. several times. And we'll say, Grace, just stay there. You pray and we'll pray. Grace, stay there. Graduation day. And I'm not telling you what somebody told me. I was there. Graduation day. 14 prizes were given out, and Grace won 13 out of the 14. You think God can do that today? I do. In fact, I know He can do it today. Young people, honor the Lord. I know what they teach you in school. I know they teach you evolution. They taught it to me, too. But I had a wonderful cousin. She's now with the Lord. And she called me up one Wednesday and said to me, I think I'm in trouble. I said, what happened? I just took an examination, a final exam in biology. I said, well, why should we be in trouble? Biology isn't that hard. She said, that's not the point. At the end of the test, she said, I wrote, I have answered the above questions according to the theory of evolution, but I want you to know I don't believe in the theory of evolution. Would you do that? That took courage. She called me back the next Wednesday, voice cheerful. I said, how did you make out? I got an A in the course. I said, what about the note that you wrote? And the teacher wrote under it, neither do I. They know it's nonsense. They know it's foolishness. If you honor God, He will honor you. But let's read on. Chapter 2. Verse 46. You may read the intervening verses when you get home. Then the king of Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors to him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is the God of Lord of kings, the revealer of secrets, seeing that thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king, mark this now, these are fellows that wouldn't eat the king's food, honoring God. Then the king made Daniel a great man. Daniel and his friends were low. They ate only what God would have them eat. The king made Daniel a great man, gave him many gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province. If you honor God, He'll honor you. Become nothing. It's amazing what He'll do for you. Time's almost up. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and Andrew his brother, Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Nice, humble occupation. They were fishermen. He saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you catch men. That's quite an elevation, isn't it? But you know the trouble in this world? A brother in New York used to say, God said, catch fishes. He didn't say clean the pond. And the rulers of this world are trying to clean the pond. That's where they're wrong. God is not cleaning the pond. He's taking people out of the pond and cleaning them. And that's our responsibility. And here are two humble brothers catching fish, and God said, that's enough. I'm going to let you catch men. What a calling. What a calling. I think I'll stop here. But you know who went lower than anybody else? And therefore, it's today higher than everybody else? The Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord spares us, we shall consider him at our next meeting. I have here 1.5 pages on these various people that we have been considering. And on the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got 4. Oh my. What a person he is. He went lower than anybody else. And God has given him the name that's above every name. What a Lord, what a Savior. Beloved, let's keep low. Let's keep before the low. Lowly bowed. It is amazing what he will do with us. And again I say to you children in school, keep the Lord before you. Keep him first. With all your learning, keep the Lord first, and he will honor you. I could tell you more about that. I'll tell you one more story. Again in New York, that wicked city. But you know God is there, and he does some wonderful things in New York City. 2 sisters in the assembly, they too went to nursing school. One called me up just about 3 or 4 months ago, doing well. Oh, they went through much persecution. You don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do the other. But they studied their nursing, came to the meetings, honored the Lord, graduation day. And between the two of them, they won all the prizes. And God does that today. I'm not talking about ancient days. I'm talking about modern days. Honor the Lord. Keep low before the Lord. It's amazing how he will elevate you. Hymn number 121. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Lord of glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. And that's where we keep our pride and all our would-be smartness. Keep it down, and God will elevate. Loved, aren't you glad that you're saved? Amen. Amen is right. Nothing like it. And if you want to go up, go down. And if you want to go higher, go lower. And go as high as you will, the Lord went still lower. And that is why today he has the name that is above everything. I could continue, but I won't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with joy, with gladness, with great joy, we bow in thy presence and thank thee for thy love in giving the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. And we would walk humbly and lowly before thee, so that thou shalt be pleased to elevate us in due time. There are many young ones here. Oh, how we pray for them, that they will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and walk humbly with Him. And there is much that Thou wilt do. Dismiss us now, we pray Thee, with Thy richest blessings resting upon us. Take us home in safety to our various places of abode as we give Thee thanks in the alone worthy name, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.